Off top, your feet are younger than your head because your feet are closer to the earth. Less time has passed for your feet than your head, thanks to mass's effect on the curvature of space-time. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
What up, Charlie?
I think that might be your best off-top fact.
Oh, man.
That is fascinating.
It's time dilation is an incredible rabbit hole that I've been in a number of times and still have a hard time fully grasping it. I watched Interstellar with my daughter over the weekend. And like, I really like that movie. It's a good movie, especially a father-daughter movie. So she's in the movie. She's 12. And we're like, I'm close with all my kids, but you have different bonds with different kids. And with her, one of the things that we have together is watching movies. So it felt like an important moment that, because that's like a father-daughter story.
Yeah.
And it's about the passage of time and the and time dilation. And it just sent me back down that rabbit hole to try to relearn all of that stuff. And it is a rabbit hole that you will be in very soon.
And I'm not going to lie, it also must feel very nice to have listened to that like beautiful Hans Zimmer Interstellar score after weeks of just hearing whopper, 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 whopper.
Yeah, it does impact you a little bit more. They should do, like, the way that we have music in movies, it really changes like how you, if you've never noticed it before, just like pay attention to what happens to you emotionally when you're watching a movie, and you notice like the words matter, the action matters, but I feel like the music impacts you more than anything. And like, to tie it into football, would you be all for it if like they stopped letting people go to games and they just recorded the games and then presented them with soundtracks to us all afterwards, so we all watched it together with music that accompanied the moment?
I mean, that's like turning it into NFL films, which I love.
NFL and films. Like every morning before my own football games, when I was young, I'd wake up. Like, it was hard for me to get up on normal days, but on Saturday, I'd pop up every Saturday at like 6 a.m. My games weren't till like 1. And I don't know if you remember this. I guess you're younger than me, so maybe it's different. But NFL films would do those yearbooks every morning.
I watched them all the time.
Oh my gosh. And they just would go back to back to back. I loved it so much so that I ended up buying the NFL films DVD, and it just played all that music. And I would like rewatch, one of the parents would record the games. I'd rewatch the games with the NFL DVD or the NFL CD playing the football songs in the background.
I mean, my favorite were the Raiders ones. You just get like, you know, Winds of a Raider, like some pirate music and Marcus Allen jumping over.
Is it
people.
The Autumn Winds Are a Raider, right? That's, I think it's something like that. But yeah, it was this underappreciated how important those NFL films were to the growth of Steve Sable and all them, to the growth of the sport. This is not where I expected to start. I didn't expect to be talking about Steve Sable, Whopper, Interstellar, time dilation. But I'm sure you can come up with some pithy transition from that to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, I think we can, because I think we can all agree I would rather have Steve Sable narrating Patrick Mahomes than hearing Tony Romo go,
oh my gosh, man. Like,
off on Sunday.
We're all in the media, so there's like some like brotherhood in that. So like, I feel like coming down on him is not, because I've had plenty of bad appearances, but it's just tough, man. It's just tough.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Well, I mean, Tony, I think we can all agree. Tony Romo seems like
wife just came down here. She's looking for something. Hey, microphone is right out there. I might have taken it upstairs for you already. Oh, sorry. You guys can edit that out or leave it in. Who cares? She's part of the show. All right, Charlie, what were you saying, buddy?
I was just going to say, just to soften it a tiny bit, Tony Romo seems like a great hang. Would be very fun to watch a game with, but he's lost the thread on making these games exciting. He doesn't have the Gus Johnson thing in him where he knows the moment of when to bring you in really quiet and then when to jack it back up for the big moments.
That is the soundtrack to the game. You know, like, that is the emotion of the game. That is what makes you feel those moments bigger than anything. I feel like the Mike Breen bangs are classic. Have you ever heard him talk about his bang level? He's talked about this before, about how he tries to save a bang when he's doing games because he knows that there might always be a bigger bang. For those who don't know, Mike Breen does NBA games, and he says bang when people hit big shots. And he was, I forgot what, I was listening to him on a podcast some time ago, and he was talking about how in the course of a game, he'll moderate his bangs. He'll hit you a little bang, bang. And then if you hit a super big shot, have you heard the double bang?
Oh, the double bang. Yeah.
Mike Breen will give you a bang, bang.
Curry for three, bang, bang. It's the best.
Anyway, so yeah, Romo is a different experience. I'm sure he'll get better. I feel like Aikman had a lull at one point, and then Romo's appearance stepped Aikman's game up. Aikman's better. I think we all accept that Greg Olsen is the best right now. Mm-hmm. The at least Greg Olsen's not a quarterback, but they're all white dudes who play offense. We got Collinsworth's really good. Like I think there's like nothing's better than a two-man booth, I would think, with a DB and a quarterback. Like that's where we should be heading.
Yeah, and I do think we should note that Greg Olsen, a little different than the other quarterbacks. You know, this is G-Reg from the Seventh Floor Crew, who is on the classic Miami teams.
Yeah, I can't never forget Greg Olsen, G-Reg. I think of it every time. But just generally, like, he's closer to the game, and he obviously still has that new guy, got to prove myself hunger. Like, he feels like he's the most prepared, and he's the most informative. And I do, like, even I feel like I learned things from watching that. And I to be fair to Collinsworth, the same is true, I think, of him through the course of the season. But this is not what we want to talk about. I want to talk about Mahomes, because you sent me a ridiculous text this morning. Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Okay, so I debated this for like 40 minutes with my older brother, which is always, that's actually, if you can argue about this with a friend for that long, it's worth talking about. He called me and was like, I've seen enough. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time. And I clutched my pearls and I was like, you know, Thomas Edward, Patrick Brady, 28-3, 7 Super Bowls, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was actually thinking about it, because this was a big one for Mahomes. Beating Cincinnati was a big one on one leg. All of his receivers went out. They literally could not sub in a fourth receiver at certain points. They're playing Sky Moore out there, who, you know, hasn't gotten reps. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's someone who normally just does cardio for a couple hours and doesn't actually catch the ball, was their number one target after they took out Kelce at halftime. And it got me thinking, like, you know, it's really hard to call Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback of all time. And we've done this before, where like with like Aaron Rodgers, we're like, oh, he's the most talented guy we've ever seen. I'm sure that was the case with Dan Marino. Peyton Manning, like, super influential, changed the game. But what we have now is a 5-year sample size with Mahomes. And what I wanted to do is compare it to the other best 5-year runs from some of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. And I go through this view. Mahomes has gone to 5 AFC championship games, 3 Super Bowls. He has 1 Super Bowl win. He could win a second one. I'm giving him 2 MVPs because he's the massive favorite to win that one. And in one of those seasons, he had his 50 touchdown pass season, which was one of the best like 10 statistical seasons of all time. What's interesting about that is I looked at Brady's best 5-year stretch, which was 2007-2012. 2 MVPs, did not win any Super Bowls during that stretch. So how we contextualize Brady as this ultimate winner, he didn't actually win Super Bowls playing the best he played individually. And like that was the Moss era. He lost 2 Super Bowls to the Giants. Went to Peyton Manning, 2008-2013. 3 MVPs, no Super Bowls. And, you know, a couple incredible statistical seasons. This is when it overlapped the end of his Colts career to the beginning of his Broncos career. And then the one that's interesting, obviously, I can't even compare stats in this era, but it's Joe Montana from 86-90. Because that's actually sort of crazily what Mahomes is like. 2 MVPs, he won 2 Super Bowls, so they were the dominant team, and then he got injured. Like, we are actually approaching a point where you know, if we want to talk about, oh, you got to throw out the statistics because it's a passing league now and Mahomes is so talented, you have to see how this team performs. His five-year stretch compares favorably to any five-year stretch a quarterback has ever put out, not just from the statistics, but also from the winning narrative and now winning hurt narrative, winning with worse players narrative, all of it, because they were not the more talented football team on Sunday against the Bengals. Which
yeah,
is
I mean, I think the what you're arguing is the best five-year stretch,
mm-hmm.
and that's different than the greatest of all time.
I had to shrink it so there was an actual argument.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, this is also like his first 5 years as a starter. And I think Montana didn't start as a rookie either.
Yeah.
And he was an MVP by his third year. So it's, I think Montana is the only reasonable comparison, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and you can compare like the stats. I think you can't compare stats to each other, but you can compare stats to their era. And I think Montana is probably the only reasonable comparison for this run. I think the only other person we could talk about for the greatest is obviously Tom Brady because of the championships. But I think the strike against Tom Brady, if there is any strike against someone who has seven Super Bowls, is none of those Super Bowl runs were during his prime. So while he was also influential in those games and in those playoffs and in those seasons, it's different for Mahomes in Montana. And Montana is not fair for us because I don't think we lived through that, but I like look back on it. And what I understand about those teams is we give a lot of credit to Walsh. We give a lot of credit to Rice. They balled on defense. It's like pre salary cap era. They were like loaded. And that 49ers team was a result of like stockpiling a lot of talent, having offensive innovation, and Joe Montana being outstanding. So I don't know. It's hard. I think it's hard to make that comparison because of how different the games are. Talking about who the greatest of all time or the best 5 year run, I think is a conversation that we're having right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty hard to argue against Mahomes if he wins this Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Again, against a team that's better than that.
Way, way more talented.
Yeah.
Way more talented, except for at the quarterback position.
Yeah. And he's injured. So like all this stuff, I think part of what goes into this is the story, like mm-hmm. beats that we can put in around it. The raw stats are fine and fun, but I think that's just like table stakes. What besides it is like 28-3, like stuff like that.
Well, that's why I thought this game was huge, because Mahomes was clearly on one leg. He actually ran it when it mattered. And I'm sure you felt the same way. There was a point in the fourth quarter when Burrow had the ball on two possessions with the game tied, and he was sort of dealing a little bit where it felt like the Chiefs were cooked. And for Mahomes to end up winning that game and doing it with his legs, that's a huge narrative thing after he pooped his pants last year in the AFC Championship game.
Right. And I mean, and you add on to that, the Super Bowl that he won was absurd. There's the playoff game against the Bills that somehow we remember that as Josh Allen's kind of like elevation and not like a continuation on the Mahomes greatness, because he's the one that led the 13-second touchdown drive. We have the, I guess, the Texans, huge comeback against the Texans. Then you have a huge comeback against the Titans too, like in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just feels like he's doing all of the like ancillary things, and we've gotten used to it, and we don't talk about it nearly as much as I guess we should. And I guess we have 2 weeks coming up. Maybe this will be a ton of Mahomes love, but he's been so great for so long already that it kind of gets glossed over, so much so that we're looking for the new stories. That I love Burrow and I enjoyed the Burrow thing, but I have to be honest, is like I was a part of the reason, like I was a little happy that Mahomes won. It was like I didn't feel like doing this all week. I didn't feel like fighting the Burrow is better all week conversation.
I got actually annoyed by the backlash to the backlash, because initially I was with you being like, yeah, this is annoying. Like Mahomes is ridiculous. Can't we just appreciate that? Like, it's fun to have like a lot of like another good quarterback, but Mahomes is the guy. And then there was the backlash to the backlash, which is like, how dare you compare Joe Burrow to the best quarterback in the league? And I was like, wait, That's the fun part of sports. Like literally comparing two of the best players in the league. Yeah. Like, don't take that away from me.
That is true. You are trying to compare him to Joe Montana and Tom Brady, who have more than a decade of career on top of it. So that is the fun part. Arguing is the fun part. And so if I'm not going to get indignant, then what are we doing here?
Exactly.
Like, I got to get indignant. That's the whole special sauce. You got to care about this shit that doesn't matter more than anybody else does. That's the point.
Well, on that, can I give you a thing that I noticed that's in Mahomes' favor over Brady? A lot of people talk about the narrative like, oh, Brady didn't have loaded offenses until he got Moss. And that's absolutely true. And then he had, you know, greatest modern receiver of all time since Jerry Rice and the best tight end of all time. But Mahomes, his numbers have actually stayed static without Tyreek Hill. Like that's a huge thing in my opinion, in his favor. Like he had by the advanced statistics and by the raw statistics, one of like the 12 best seasons ever for a quarterback this season. And that's on taking Tyreek Hill off this team. When I was arguing about this yesterday, my brother kept being like, we have eyeballs. Like you've watched Mahomes play football. No one has ever done this. And I was like, Brady in the, you know, the 2-minute drill. When they're going no huddle, he's just as good as Mahomes. And then I was thinking, like, wait a second. We just took all the talent off of Mahomes' offense that didn't actually matter. All of the winning narratives of this being a team game, like, Mahomes does that just as well as Brady. Like, he is that guy.
Yeah, he is that guy. He was a first-round pick, so he came in with the pedigree. He doesn't have the cute, interesting story, I guess, that I think we forget to even address with Brady anymore because he's been in our life for so long. He's been great for so long that he was an underdog kind of afterthought that ended up taking over that team and winning. But yeah, I mean, we don't have to do this conversation anymore. I think we're generally in the same place on it. It's like Mahomes is on pace. But yeah, his 5-year run, like it's hard to compare that to anyone. And that was one of the kickers in the Mahomes versus Burrow argument that I would bring up, is that he's doing it another way without the talent. And that's a really tough thing to do. So like to get dropped in for Alex Smith, that was tough, but not as hard. And then to have Hill and Kelsey, that's tough. Broke down offensive line. It's nice, but it's not perfect. And then we got him a good offensive line and all the receivers disappeared. And Kelsey's got back spasms and they win. And not to take credit away from the other players who made plays, like the defense played well, made plays in key times in the games this weekend. But it just always feels like it has to be about Mahomes. But one of the things that Mahomes deserves credit for is drawing that penalty at the end. That was an incredible flop.
The arms went flying. Yeah. Oh.
Incredible body flop. He drew the penalty. It was sad. It was Joseph Asai is the culprit, who seemed to have red eyes in the post game when he was having a press conference, and BJ had his back, but it was just like an uncomfortable thing. And we all got really sad for him immediately. I don't know, like, I'm not a fan of any team, but like I still like get emotionally invested in these games in some ways. Like, I don't know if my heart could take it if I actually cared, you know, like these fans, if I actually cared at the end of that game, because like my heart was my pulse was picking up in the high moments of those games. But like, I don't lose any sleep the way that like I feel like real fans do. I can't imagine that. So like I do know what it feels like to be the reason why your team lost in a situation like that. And so I did immediately feel for Joseph Asai. I wasn't here for the jokes or the tough questions, even though I know that's part of it.
Were there a lot of jokes? I actually was like, this was like maybe the fastest internet reaction where everyone's just like, dude played his heart out. I feel bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a bonehead play though. It was like,
yes, it was.
No, I guess it depends on how it was definitely a terrible play and it hurt them a great deal. But I guess I'm watching him running to the ball. It's like the things you coach, and he did not like lunge into him. it Patrick Mahomes could have stayed on his feet if he wanted to. Like, it wasn't like
if he had two functioning feet.
Yeah, I mean, I even with one functioning foot, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Rewatch the play. We could take a break right now and watch the replay. He did not like lunge into Patrick Mahomes.
He shoved him on like the shoulder pad.
Right. Which was something you shouldn't do. But I guess that was my feeling, is it's like, maybe that's part of the reason why people weren't so upset with him, is like, we know the rules. And none of us were surprised that the flag was thrown because Patrick Mahomes was out of bounds. But it was not one of those penalties that just the ball had been gone for 3 seconds and he just goes helmet to helmet. He just like put his forearm into his back.
He was two full steps out of bounds, which like they're going to make that call every time. You could see the defensive back from the Bengals. I'm not sure it was the guy who's not Eli Apple. The second he makes contact. A side makes contact with Mahomes. The defensive back raises his hands like in like the shrugging emoji. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Right.
So, I mean, like, was it boneheaded? In my opinion, yes. I assume that all of these players are so used to not hitting quarterbacks when they're out of bounds in that situation. But I mean, we should talk about it because the refs also took over that entire part of that game. And like, the Bengals, that has to be gut-wrenching for the Bengals because they had them. They had two possessions with the game tied, and it seemed like, you know, Mahomes and that offense were reeling, and they ended up losing that game, which makes an all-time gut-wrenching loss. But I do want to ask you, if that game had gone to overtime, if that penalty hadn't happened, what do you think happens in that game?
I have no idea.
No clue, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, I thought both teams were going to win at many points in this game and was surprised when they didn't come through. But yeah, that sucks. It's a terrible way. I mean, I guess Bucker hitting the kick, it's nice and triumphant to have a kicker prevail in that moment, given what we had seen from Maher, because I was definitely like more concerned about that kick because of the Maher experience than I normally would have. But I don't know. I just hate that it comes down to that. And I know the coaches say the right things and the players say the right things. Like, we had many opportunities, but if you're the guy, it doesn't change. And you know that it doesn't matter how many opportunities there are. No one's going to remember this game for all the other mistakes that were made. We're going to remember it for that particular play. And it sucks. That flight home sucks.
I still talk about the D4 play.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith play.
Yep.
Oh, Leon Lett. Like, we're in that. Like, to me, that's why it has to be boneheaded. Because, like, and by the way, I'm not trying to, like, crush this guy. I don't want him to, like, get, like,
yeah,
you know, destroyed for years on Twitter. He was one of their, he like actually popped watching the game as one of their best defensive players. But you know,
Leon Lett, they still won that Super Bowl, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Against the Bills. That's tough for the Bills. All right. Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens with that. I'm sure he'll be okay. Team seems to be supportive of him, which is nice. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I got to ask you a question about the other game. Because right. we're careening towards an Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl matchup. The Eagles have been one of your picks the entire year, the most talented team in the NFC. And they got the one seed. They ran through the postseason like it was the preseason. It literally looked like Georgia playing against, like, you know, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. But I got to ask you, has this run been impressive at all? Like, the Eagles offense was sort of in mud against the 49ers. There were a ton of penalties and three fumbles. Like, is this the least impressive, most impressive run you can imagine?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is, would they have prevailed against different opponents? Or I guess the best opponent would have been the 49ers with Except like with who though? I don't feel like, I guess it's with a healthy Brock Purdy would be the most challenging opponent. Like I think the
NFL caliber quarterback.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys actually probably matched up well against them. If we're looking at teams that were in the playoffs, but I agree, they did not, despite the fact that the score in both of their playoff games were utterly dominant, they looked utterly dominant against teams. They looked utterly dominant in the front against teams that could not contend with them up there. I would say the most impressive thing about their run is being able to run the ball against with ease, it seemed like, against that that 49ers defensive line and linebackers. But other than that, I mean, I guess their defense played really well against a couple of bad offenses. But yeah, I guess you're right. It's not the most impressive run, but I don't, it still doesn't mean they're not really good. They still look really good.
And they're outrageously talented. Like you watch these games, it seems like every single player that gets called out by an announcer, you're like, oh, that guy's an all-pro caliber player. What's he doing there? But the reason I wanted to go through this a tiny bit is like, okay, Jalen Hurts had like 121 yards. 35 of those went to Devontae Smith on a pass that he actually dropped, which was not like, you know, an all-time dime given the fact that he was open. I don't think that they actually dominated the 49ers. Like the 49ers played without an NFL quarterback. They literally couldn't throw the ball. I guess defensively they were dominant against a team that was actually one dimension on offense because they couldn't throw the ball. But they got, you know, they could have gone into that half at 14-7 if Josh Johnson doesn't decide to hand the ball back to them. And that changed everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it changed everything. I don't know that the difference, it would have been that different in the second half. But I get what you're saying. It did, I guess, change the amount of pressure that was on the 49ers by how much they had to come back from. But I don't think the outcome would have been that different. I guess I was more impressed by their ability to run the ball and their offensive line being just as good against this defensive line as they have been against other defensive lines that are not nearly as talented. So that was the impressive part to me. You're right. The run hasn't been all that good. The story of this season, and we kind of lost the thread on this particular story, because the beginning of the season, we weren't sure if Jalen Hurts was going to survive the season.
Right.
And even I was already like wondering what they were going to do to try to address the quarterback in the offseason, because if they don't win, it would only because of him. And he like elevated his play to a new level. He hasn't done it in playoffs, but they haven't needed him to.
He's hurt.
Yeah. And he's hurt. I think that's probably one of the takeaways that it's probably a bit hyperbolic to say that this is evidence that the season is too long. But the idea that we had four teams and all four of the teams had injury issues for the most protected position. And while we're watching both of those games, people are dropping all over the place.
Everywhere.
And like everyone needs this bye week between the Super Bowl, and people are dropping everywhere. And it's just like, it's only so much you can ask of the human body, or 53 human bodies through one season.
Well, I mean, worth noting on that. Okay. Mahomes' ankle, Travis Kelce back spasms, Jalen Hurts shoulder, Lane Johnson retore his groin in that game. The 49ers, Brock Purdy, we don't know exactly what happened to his elbow, but some UCL injury. Nick Bosa got leg whipped and then got injured again. Fred Warner got it. That's an all-pro team of just injuries from that game. That's unbelievable.
It is. And it just, I mean, I guess there maybe it's just coincidence and it's just random. And like Joe Burrow wasn't like hurt, but you saw when his arm went dead and he was like holding it limp.
And he hurt his hand at the end.
In the fourth quarter of the game. Yeah. So like that, maybe it's just like coincidence, but that to me should be concerning, because I know that the league, from a marketing standpoint, only cares about the quarterbacks. And I don't know if you find this as funny, but during a regular season, they like market the Thursday night game and they always like put a guy up there. And when they have to turn to like D linemen and wide receivers and running backs, you know, they're in bad shape. They want to be able to put a quarterback up to promote the Thursday night game for everybody. But when you look up and they're like, TJ Watt is lining up against Like, and then they show the quarterback on the other side. It's a bad look. So I don't think that you could do anything else to protect the quarterbacks, but you're asking so much of them through the course of this year. It's just gonna, like, it's gonna catch up to you. And if you expand it past just the teams that are in the Final Four, like, nobody's healthy. Nobody's in great shape. Josh Allen had the elbow injury. Lamar Jackson missed a bunch of games. It's just,
yeah.
Even if you only care about the quarterbacks, it's still, we're in bad shape.
You know, a couple of things. First of all, you know, putting Nick Bosa on a graphic appeals to a very specific set of people that I think the NFL, you know, really wants to watch these games. But
you see
also,
Joey Bosa getting upset.
I, you know, feel like people are hilarious because a random dude just completely dunking on Joey Bosa and having Joey Bosa have call him a broke boy and tell him that he's like hanging out with his butt buddies. Like,
yeah.
Joey Bosa, you came off like such a loser, like an unbelievably big loser.
It's bad. How, what would you recommend? How would you recommend he react to that? Because obviously he did it wrong. I mean, you want to win that exchange. You can't just walk away. Like, I think that's probably the best way to react to it. But Joey Bosa, like, I think he wanted to, like, exhibit the, or highlight the fact that he's in a better place in life than this guy. I feel like maybe he should have responded with, hey, guy, can you take it easy on me? I've had a bad week. My Lamborghini's in the shop. I lost a playoff game, and my private jet pilot has gotten sick. It's just a rough week for me, man. I really don't got the time. You know what it's like, right? Because that's essentially what he was trying to do. Like, that would be a more graceful way to say, you're a broke, because what Joey said was, you're a broke, and was like, and you got to do it with no emotion. That's the bad part, is you can't show that you're riled up. Like, whatever you say, you got to be chill with it. Like, Joey wanted to fight this man in the parking lot.
I think he had a few options. One is just to laugh at him. Yeah. And another one is to just give him the quick succession, Brian Cox, off, and continuing to walk. That works every time.
All right.
The third is to go just full, like, make fun of him for being as Philly as possible. And just be like,
that's true.
You would die to have me on your team.
You got to do something. Yeah, I mean, it's clear that what he did was wrong, but you can be his advisor. Call him up and teach him how to handle these.
I mean, the other one is just a big thumbs up, the sarcastic thumbs up to someone when you're making fun of them, like a sweet insult. And just throw him a huge thumbs up and a smile. That works every time.
I like that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so last thing I wanted to ask you about is the Brock Purdy situation, because it sucked. I mean, like, we joked that, like, Shanahan could win with anyone at quarterback. He cannot win with the desiccated husk of Josh Johnson and Christian McCaffrey playing quarterback. I thought for sure Brock Purdy was going to be the starter next season. I thought it was going to be really awkward when they had to choose between him and Lance. But, you know, Trey Lance has thrown 400 passes in the last 5 years. There are actual concerns about his development at this point, despite the fact that he's everything that Kyle Shanahan, in theory, wants in a quarterback. But we don't know what's going to happen with Purdy now because of the injury, because of the way this played out. Do you think our buddy, now that there's an opening there, do you think Thomas Edward Patrick Brady is going to be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers next year?
It's possible. That'd be an interesting combination, because I think most places you hand the offense over to Brady. not there. And I'm not sure that these are the type of players that Tom Brady wants around him. I mean, I guess Kittle is probably it, but Debo.
Well, and McCaffrey. McCaffrey's like, he killed with Kevin Falk. Yeah, those guys.
Perfect. I was going to say one of those slot receivers, except with running back skills, but Kevin Falk is, he's a supercharged Kevin Falk. Good job not being racist, because I was thinking about the little white guy. My bad. yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they could figure out, like, Kyle Shanahan is not, while he has been effective with his system, like, his system is flexible. Like, he's done it with different quarterbacks, different styles. Like, he seems to really understand offenses and defenses and players and knows how to use them. But he does seem to have a type of player that he wants, which doesn't seem like the type of player that Brady, as far as pass catcher is concerned, that Brady's going to look for. And Tom Brady is not, he wants a good offensive line. They don't have that. They have a good tackle. I don't think their offensive line is great. So I don't know if it works out perfectly. The great defense certainly helps, but if he's looking to win another championship, then that's certainly a place to go. But I'm not one to say that he can, like, hurt his legacy at all, but, like, does this feel ring chasey at this point?
Oh, I have no idea why he's still playing football. It doesn't compute to me, because it's reached the weird point. Like, it's 2 years ago, and even last year when he went out against the Rams, there were legitimate questions being like, whoa, leverage situation. Like, he's up there with anyone. Like, he was actually up there in the class. The way he performed was admirable and close enough to Mahomes and Josh Allen that we were like, okay, whatever, perfect way to go out. Now it's just weird. He's going to be 47 years old. He clearly doesn't want to get hit anymore. But this is actually the one situation that makes a lot more sense to me than if he's just like playing for the Raiders next year.
Yeah, Raiders doesn't make any sense to me.
Being like a glorified casino greeter, like working for MGM in the arena, like, because that's what it would be with sports gambling going national. But with San Francisco, like, there's a chance that Purdy's going to miss a significant portion of next year, which I want to be clear, we do not know yet, but it's distinctly possible with the reports we got from Schefter. That's the opening.
Yeah.
That's actually the opening, because you could make a legitimate case to trade Lance for a pick, keep Purdy as your future, who's incredibly cost controlled, and bring in Brady. This is actually the one situation that makes sense to me.
Yeah, the Brady thing, you know how players say nothing's more important to me than football, and we all take that, but we understand that it's a figure of speech. Like, I kind of think for Brady, it's not a figure of speech. And while we
it's true.
Yeah, and we all try to, like, project what we believe to be reasonable motives onto it. It's like, he wants to win another championship and this is the best place for him. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure he doesn't want to suck, but I also feel like he just doesn't want to not be playing football. But I don't know. This is probably pretty irresponsible, because we don't really know anything about what he's thinking. I can't project it because he's not normal. I'm not like him. But I don't, because every time I think about the Brady situation, the most attractive option to me sounds like riding off into the sunset. Right. Like, and he never does that. Like, three Super Bowls ago, I would have been like, hey, perfect time to ride off into the sunset. Man, went and won three more. But anyway.
He had it perfect last year.
Yeah.
He came back from 21 down against the Super Bowl champs and, like, played him to a draw with an insane Cooper Kupp catch. Like, the dude has had five storybook endings already to a career that is, like, I mean, I was looking at some of his cumulative numbers. Do you remember how big a deal it was when Peyton Manning got to 300 touchdown passes? And they're like, wow, he's going to blow this record out of the water. Like,
yeah,
like Marino is at 439 or something. Brady's at like 650. He's lapped the field. And if he plays a couple more years, like if he plays for a good team, like his records are, I know we're in a passing mood, but they're going to be like untouchable. They're going to be like Wilt Chamberlain records.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't get Tom Brady, but I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. I appreciate you, Charlie. Time for everyone's favorite Foxworth, Roses and Thorns. He's so good!
How has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right, Roses and Thorns with Ashley, I'm not going to say everybody's favorite Foxworth because I know that bothers you, but.
And if they met more of our family, I wouldn't be. So
I'm sorry, they don't. Like... It's right now you're the favorite. It's they have two options. Is you and
but
me.
Here's the thing that I realized last week when you say that everyone's favorite Foxworth or like Adi, he was so sweet. He was like, people listen to this. People like listening to this. Anyone who gets to this point of your show must like you well enough, right? Like, because they've like listened to a whole like 35 minutes before this to get to this place. And like you.
The thing is, like, people can fast forward to this, but also, like, you don't have to like somebody. Like, First Take is like the most popular sports show in the world.
And people love Stephen A. Smith.
I mean, some people do, but I think they find him like provocative and entertaining. People could listen to this and just listen because they love to get mad at the things that I say. But when you show up,
they find you provocative and entertaining.
Just a ray of sunshine or informative. They don't have to like me, but you.
I don't know. I wouldn't listen to someone's podcast for 40 minutes if I didn't like them. I'd be like, get out of my ear. Like there's so many sports podcasts. Like other people could be telling them, I get it's like different takes and stuff. And maybe they just like the way you think. But like, I don't know. If they like the way you think, then I feel like they might like you well enough.
Soothing.
So then here's the thing. Baritone. No one's going to say mean things about someone they like's wife was the point that I didn't make to Adi that like I probably should have raised, but because it's like, wow, like that's like personal to him. I can disagree with how he feels about Dak Prescott or whatever you were saying earlier in today's show about like Patrick Mahomes, or I imagine we're talking about him and Jalen Hurts.
Look at you.
But
we're going to let the sports get into this one too.
I actually do watch football.
I know you do.
I'm so glad I didn't when you were playing, like, because every game I'm like worried about someone, like not always as extreme as obviously what happened with DeMar Hamlin, but like you just see like in the first quarter of in the first possession of the second game yesterday, the Mahomes one, someone got injured. Like, and watching them like go down and stuff and like imagining like, wow, how do they feel? How do their family members feel? I'm so glad I had no clue what was going on when you're playing. And I would sit there and watch like the field and just like my eyes would zone out so I wouldn't even see individual players. Like, so I had no idea if you were hurt or not. So grateful.
Fred Warner got hurt in the first game and was like holding his shoulder, his neck. Like, yeah, I was talking about this earlier with Charlie, like how it felt like there were so many more injuries towards the end of the season, and we're in the second year of an 18 game or 18 week season, 17 game season, and it does feel like there's a different toll when you add another one of those games.
It was 16 games when you played, and now it's up to 18, not just 17?
No, it's up to 18 weeks, 17 games.
Oh, 18 was 17.
Yeah,
games.
But okay, I'm sure.
Okay. But I guess even those off weeks, though, even your bye week, you practice a little bit, not the whole week, I'm sure. But
I mean, I never really had my worst injuries were all in practice. I never really had a bad on-field injury, fortunately, because
you know, a regret that I have, you know, we could talk about regrets today, but we don't have to. Something I thought of the other day, and it's a small thing. So back when you tore your ACL, it was in training camp. I'm sorry, I have this earpiece in and it's not in right. So I'm just going to mess with it some. You were in training camp, and it was like in July. I remember we got married July 3rd of that year. And I had an internship in DC that I had missed a good amount of because we had just gotten married and going on our bootleg honeymoon to the Bahamas. Ooh, you're so fancy. You can put
yours in. No, I'm just showing you that it goes over your ear, not under your ear.
Oh.
And you should put it on the other side, probably.
I'm not going to figure this out in a short time.
Put it over the ear on the other side. Okay.
I'll keep it like this.
Do it like that.
you know. And so he called me one day. I was at my internship. I was interning at the Children's Defense Fund. I was in law school. And he called me and was like, I tore my ACL. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Okay, let me go back to typing this memo. I mean, not literally, like I felt really bad for you. But that night, I didn't even, like Baltimore, Pikesville, where we lived from where I was in DC. Yeah, it sucked coming in the morning. It sucked, honestly, going back in the evening. But like, I could have driven there. I did not show up. Like now I really pride myself as an adult on like showing up for the people I love when they, not just when they need, but when they want. And like, that's a time where I was like, I think we talked recently on a date about like, maybe the first couple of years of our marriage, I was like, whether it was like postpartum or whatever, like I wasn't I don't know. It feels foggy to me. And I didn't show up as a wife in the ways that I would have liked to. Like, even we talked about when we went out this week about our first anniversary, how you cooked this fabulous dinner. And I was like, okay, well, I have a cookout to go to now. Like, what type of awful person? But you tore your ACL. And I remember I came out like the next day, maybe it was a Thursday, let's say. Cause I was like, okay, well, like, I have to get my internship in DC tomorrow. So I'm just going to stay in DC again tonight. And then the next day I remember coming out and you were just looking sad in the basement. And I was like, damn, like, I really, so I'm sorry for that. I mean, like 12 years later, I know you don't care, but I was thinking about it. And I was like, damn, that was messy.
Nah, well, I mean, yeah, we're different, obviously. And I think that part of our differences is, or part of having, I think, any relationship, romantic or otherwise, that works is like not projecting your own like wants and desires and expectations on other people. And I think I've gotten better with that because I don't really care. About
I know,
that.
But still, you were just sad, you know? And alone in your basement. Like,
yeah, I'm fine with being sad and alone.
I had a wife. I should have been there.
Yeah, I mean, if there was something that you could do.
I know, there was nothing I could have done.
Then I would have been, like, hurt. If it was like, I tore my ACL, and it'd be really helpful for you to come do this for me. It's like, no, the Ravens were going to drive me to get it, MRI. They're going to take me home. I could get food.
They drove your car home for you and stuff?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I guess it didn't seem, it's not something I would need, but I do understand that there are some people who would appreciate the, like, gesture of the sacrifice of showing up. I know that you, like, were upset at me because I didn't go to, I think there was, when your grandmother died, I didn't go to the funeral. And
you went to the funeral, you went to the funeral, you didn't go to the wake, which to me was harder than the funeral. But anyway.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that's because I've learned better now, but I think it's because, like, I wouldn't have cared. I didn't need you.
That's crazy to me that you wouldn't have
cared. I didn't care that you weren't at the ACL. I wouldn't care if you weren't at like a family member's funeral or something. It's like, unless there was something you could do. If you were showing up, was going to bring him back to life and you didn't show up, how
but
dare
you? But you know, you have changed some and you know that sometimes just like you like being around me and like our presence is like a present to each other. And like, and I think that's something that we've both grown with. But like, I don't know. It feels like my support, you like being around me. Gosh darn it. You would have liked, it's okay to say you're right. You should have been there. I would have liked it if you were there.
Yes, but don't beat yourself up over it. Cause
oh no, I'm not, but it just like, I didn't think randomly. I thought about it. I can't remember why, you know,
you were in law school, not med school. If you were in med school and you like had a revolutionary ACL, repair strategy and you was like, nah, I got to stay at this internship. Then we have a problem. Like, I don't know. We weren't going to sue the Ravens. So there's nothing you can
but
do.
But I imagine, though, like, and I didn't really, because that, I mean, you did try to come back a little bit from that, but you never came back from that, like, football-wise. So, like, I imagine that I wasn't aware at the time, like, how dumb I was, that, like, tearing your ACL was, like, for a cornerback, like, a big injury that could be pretty detrimental to your career. And obviously it doesn't have to be, but it could be. Or even that it wasn't detrimental, you at least had to be out a whole year. And so I was like, oh, you, and I think you didn't even tell me, you said like you tore up your knee. My dad's an orthopedic surgeon. So I get home from my internship and I'm like at my parents' house chatting with him, like, oh yeah, Dominique tore up his knee today. My dad is like, what? I was like, oh, okay. I'm still gonna stay here though and get to my internship in the morning. Like, that's awful of me. So yes, you would have appreciated my presence and I'm sorry that you did not have it.
Yeah, ACL. Yeah, I do. I would have. Yeah, it would have been so much better. The ACL was bad. It was much worse because of the timing, because we went right into the lockout afterwards, the year after. And so the rehab process was like at a local gym and not with the support of the Ravens. It was like with a local rehab place, and it's not the same top level stuff. But yeah, so it definitely did have an impact on my career, but it also allowed me to be more involved in the union, which like is what drove me to then go to business school. And so like, I don't know, you saying you have regrets, like,
life,
yeah, you would have
out.
Come out there and your presence would have made my knee,
I mean,
so much
it's
better.
Not like that's then not a major life regret.
Hold on, not
me.
Done. I was talking about the future that we could have had. Then I would have been healthier and better than I ever was before and went on to win multiple Super Bowls and be in the Hall of Fame right now. How dare you? And you wanted to go some internship. Children's Defense Fund. Oh, you want to defend children and not your own, I guess, future husband.
No, we were married at the time. I was your wife. I was your wife, oh, and I was not
goodness
there.
Goodness gracious. How
I
dare
know.
You?
It's so awful. It's so shameful. Thank you for sticking by me
we
and
survived.
Not leaving me, though, at that moment.
You said you want to do regrets. Is that just an off the top regret, or you got more regrets?
No, that was just off the top. I thought about that recently. What I was going to do was so believe it or not, guys, we don't really plan this segment at all. Who would have thought? And so I was group texting with my siblings earlier, and I was like, oh shoot. As you can see, I didn't even put on a fun sweater. I'm wearing my normal ass workout hoodie. I was group texting with my siblings. We're always in a group text together. And I was like, oh gosh, what are Dominique and I going to talk about today? Because I know sometimes like you have a thought that we might talk about. Sometimes we have no thoughts. I don't have any. I came up with a rose and thorn, but I don't have a super compelling rose and thorn, but we'll get to them in a bit. So I was like, oh, we need like something to talk about. And Elena sent me an article, my little sister, that said that there's a 34-year-old man. He like has made a TikTok about this that's gotten popular, who was functionally illiterate, like failed by education, you know, system. Growing up and has taught himself to read at 34. And it's like, damn, like, and it's like, you know, documented on TikTok. And it's like, wow, like you can learn things. Like it's never too old to learn new things. So my question for you was going to be, if you could learn something new inspired by this man who learned to read at 34 and is vulnerable enough to like put it out there for the world to see, you know, with him. And now he's like interested in learning, like he wants to learn Spanish next and stuff. If you could learn something new right now, what would it be?
This is on the spot. What did you come up with since you had more time to think about it?
Honestly, I kept trying to think of like either like, because I think I've said on here before that I wish I growing up like had had a talent or a skill. Like I was always like sweet and smart. Like, and those were the things about me, but it wasn't like I was particularly good at anything. I would try sports, but like never really try them hard. And I just wasn't very good at them, to be honest. Even though I was MVP of the B team. So actually I might've been decent at basketball. And I wasn't like a good artist. I wasn't a good singer. I wasn't like a good musician. And so I wish I had like a talent, which is like something I could learn, like whether it was, I was trying to decide between playing an instrument or I don't
singing.
Know if you can.
I would pick singing for you because you enjoy singing.
I love to sing.
Yeah. I wish you were good at it. That'd be nice if you were good.
Oh my God. But oh, I wasn't, you know what? I was thinking of something you could teach, be taught though. Because honestly, something else I was thinking was running. Like, I wish I could be a good runner. Like, I see people just outside looking like they're loving running. One, it's good for your, like, health and your physique. But also, like, it seems like it could be, like, just a great activity. But, like, I swear, I, whether it's on a treadmill or especially outside, attempt to run, I can walk my butt off. I'm a super fast walker. I could be in speed walking competitions. But I just am not. And I know, like, I do Peloton stuff all the time. And I love Peloton. Speaking of which, you have an ESPN coworker who's not quite your coworker, Jess Sims, who is my favorite Peloton instructor. And, like, I don't get how y'all can't be on something together at work. Just make that happen. But anyway, and they always say things like, you know, don't tell yourself you're not a runner. Like anyone can be a runner. And I'm like, lying. I can't because I've been trying and it's not working. My lungs don't work like that. My legs don't work like that. And then my kids are so fast because they get it from you. So running or you're right, singing. I heard Jalen Hurts though singing yesterday, the Philly song. I'm letting you have more time to come up with your answer. And he was so bad at it, but sung it so proud. And I was like, that made me like him. Like, I really don't care who wins the Super Bowl, but that kind of gave him, because I just love to sing. I like when people just,
I think you're artistic too. Like, I feel like you may not have the patience to like do artsy things, but I think you have, like, whether you believe it or not, I think you have like a sense of some artistic expression, like physical art, but I don't know that you would actually want to do that, but whatever.
I would love to be good at something creative. Like, so now, like, my problem is I think about like getting a job and going to work and I'm like, being a lawyer, I don't want to do that. Like, and I don't, and I think I was raised in a family where my like people were, you're a doctor, you're a teacher, you're a lawyer. So when I looked at like school and what I'm going to become, it's like I need to go to, so I went to school for teaching and then I went to law school. And so I guess I could do either of those things, but I wish I was like an interior decorator. Like that, I think I could find joy in. And I think I could do it like 30 hours a week, not like 60. Or like an artist, like, and just passion. I wish I was like passionate about something like that. So if you can think of something for me, let me know. Okay.
You gotta
anyone,
find your
not
own
just
path.
Dominique. And if you can think of something for me, people, let me know. So go ahead, honey. I've bought you a lot of time now.
You did buy me a lot of time. I think that when you said, I wish I really find like a bunch of different like science disciplines interesting, but like the effort and time that it would require to become like a physicist And also like the natural talent, I guess. Talent may not be the right word, but like the natural inclination. Like I find all that stuff really interesting, and animals, that stuff, like space and all that stuff really interesting to me. And I love to like, I have all these alerts set up for like interesting scientific breakthroughs, and I enjoy reading them and watching videos about it, but I don't have like whatever inclination it is to like really understand. Like I would enjoy learning that. And I think a little lighter one is also just like, it's weird for me to say since I like communicate for a living, but it's one of the things that I notice from you is like you're much better in social settings than I am. And I just like naturally don't have that. I think it's just more you're like nicer and more likable, and I don't really want to talk to people. So it's fine. Not nicer. Nicer is the wrong word. Like I think I'm kind and generous, whatever. Right. But like in social settings, I don't know. I don't talk to you guys, but I find it really impressive that you're able to do that. So you can give me that and I will give you speed trade.
Okay. And I'll actually come for, you're right, I would love to be a surgeon. Like that is a dream of mine because I watch the surgeons on Grey's Anatomy, the black female ones.
You can't, you don't, you get grossed out by like.
I wish that I wasn't.
Okay.
Like literally, if I could be a surgeon, that would be so amazing. It's too late. I can't be. But, and like, I'm just kind of mad at my parents because like, they were never the type of people who were like, oh, we went into science or we're doctors, so you should be too. But they should have been. They should have forced me to become a doctor and I could become a surgeon and I could be just like those women on Grey's Anatomy, saving lives, but they didn't. Like, I didn't really think.
If they try to force you to be a doctor, and you also would have been grossed out. But your mom, who's also a doctor, also doesn't really like, or she just doesn't like when you guys get shots, or she doesn't really like that in general.
I think it's us, but I mean, I would like to see her around some blood. How that goes. She's not a doctor that has to deal with blood at work. I'm sure she didn't med school though. I'm sure she does some. I don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, she's fine. Thorn to me.
Your thorn. Okay, so we tried to go on a date on Friday, and I say try because it was a little hurried because I was feeling great. I woke up Friday feeling great. I was like, I kicked this cold. I'm done with it. Let's go out because I hadn't been going out because like post-COVID, you can't go out coughing, right? And so we go to this restaurant. We go early. We go at like 6 when it's like empty enough because I'm boring and I like to go out early when stuff is empty. Plus, well, honestly, I really thought I didn't have my cold, but luckily it's empty where we're sitting. And as I get there, I have these little coughs that I feel coming up and I'm like trying to hold them down. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And then they just started like coming, right? So we had to hurry up and like leave quickly. And then we took an Uber back. And in the Uber, I was really trying not to cough. It was only like a 12-minute ride.
That was funny.
I was trying. That was so mean. And we already know that I have a bad Uber rating. And then I really think that something like a leaf from the dinner was like stuck in the left side of my throat because that's what it felt like. So I was like, oh my God, I'm choking. I'm choking. And literally we were like 3 blocks from my house, but I just can't hold it anymore. I'm trying not to cough. I have a mask on. I have the window down. Well, I put the window all the way down and I just lean my head. I'm like, I'm so sorry, sir. Something's caught in my throat. And something really was caught in my throat, but it was the complication of something that was caught in my throat. Plus I had had a cold that I thought I was over that maybe I wasn't over. So I started having this cough attack in the back of the Uber, head out the window. I wish it had been on your account. So you could have gotten the ding for that.
That's why I don't order Ubers with you anymore.
And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm choking. And I don't think I was lying. Like there was something caught in my throat, but it was that mixed with the fact that I already had a cold. And Dominique sits there. No, you're not. You're not choking. You have a cold. You are not. Why would you say that? Like, just go with it. Say I'm choking.
I believe it. I believe in honesty. That poor Uber driver.
I was choking and I had a cold though.
His well-being is... his wealth, I mean, his health is a determining factor. He needs to be able to drive. I want him to know, be to guard, sir. Protect yourself.
And then we got home from that day early and I said, let's extend it with part 2 of the day because I want to see You People, I think it's called, on Netflix. And our 2 oldest kids were here because the youngest was with my sister that night. And then he invites them to watch the movie with us. It was supposed to be the 2 of us. So I come in from my shower and I see him sitting in the bed and my 12-year-old, excuse me, I just spit, my 12-year-old sitting right next to him like, hey, mom. And I was like, ugh. So then the 10-year-old, 9-year-old, who'll be 10 soon, comes and gets in. So we watch it. It's funny. We had to fast forward through some scenes because we were watching it with children, which wasn't the plan. But Dominique insisted on inviting them because he tries to be such a good father. And then one of them, my children must be dirty because I had an allergic reaction, clearly, from what I think it was all the pet hair in my son's hair because he'd been playing with animals. But anyway, so I'm like, not only did you ruin the movie and make me miss scenes, ruin like what's supposed to be the better part of our date because the first part got ruined with my coughing. But then my eyes were damn near swollen shut because of this little boy. And then I had to take Benadryl, which knocked me out. Anyway, so those are my thorns for you. I love you, though, anyway, because you're the best.
I love you, too. Thanks, Sarah Abbott. Thanks, Adi Khan. Thanks, Charlie Kravitz and Christina Buswell. You're the best. Bye.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.